The Buddha gave a teaching which he recommended we take on as a contemplation, and we contemplate very regularly, in fact, daily, which we mostly don't do, and which would actually really open us up and shift the way we see, because it brings a great perspective, a depth of perspective that we mostly want to ignore. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I'm going to offer these and I'd like you to contemplate as I say them. See about your relationship with them. Statements of fact that we don't really like to let in. I am of the nature to become sick, ill. Nothing and no one can prevent this happening in my life. It's part of the human condition. Normal. I am of the nature to grow old. Nothing and no one can prevent this from happening, except, of course, if the illness got so bad that I didn't get old. I am of the nature to die. Nothing and no one can prevent this from happening. Somehow, somewhen. I am of the nature that all I hold dear, people, things, will be separated from me someday. Everything. Nothing and no one can prevent this from happening. And the fifth statement is that I am the beneficiary, the heir, the recipient of the wake caused by all my conscious actions. Nothing and no one can prevent this from affecting me. We don't like that. We don't want to say those things to ourselves every day. I'm going to die. Life's a drag, and then I'm going to die. I'm going to not be able to keep all the things I love. We want to be able to keep them and stay young and healthy. In fact, I didn't bring it with me, but I have a magazine advert which says, aging is unnatural. It's on Prevention magazine, front page. We're in denial. And I'm going to tell a little story too, something happened to me that lives with me that I feel sad about. There was some people who have been friends of mine, particularly the husband. We were involved with different activities on Salt Spring. And he contracted liver cancer and was dying. And he had a very, very close relationship with his wife, I would say entwined. And, you know, it took some time for this process, which eventually killed him. So he was in and out of hospital and degenerating dramatically and eventually looking unbelievably green and yellow looking. I mean, you know, it was no question. He was severely sick. And she, his wife, could not stand it. And she was in complete denial. And so many, many times she'd be saying, you're going to be fine. We're going to be going home tomorrow. You'll be fine. You're going to recover. She was telling herself this and telling him this. And right before he died, he knew I was a Buddhist meditator. I was visiting in hospital. It was the day before he died. And they were there. She was there. She was always with him. And he looked straight at me through these very sick-looking body and eyes. And he said, and what's the end of the story? I can't remember the sentence that had been before this part of the conversation, but that was the point that he then said, and what's the end of the story? And he was beseeching me to say, and I know he was beseeching me to say, and the end of the story, this story here, is you're going to die very soon, and she's going to be heartbroken, and she's going to grieve and miss you terribly, and she's going to continue on, and her life will continue on, and she will be okay, and there will be support for her, and it will be hard. And as soon as he said, watch the end of the story, and he looks right at me, you know. She jumped up, put her face right in his face so he couldn't see my face and I couldn't see his face, and said, the end of the story is you're going to get better and you're going to come home with me tomorrow. And I didn't speak. And I live with this. For her sake, I couldn't. She wouldn't let me. She was not allowing it into her psyche, although it was happening. But for his sake, I couldn't say that. I couldn't do what he was asking me to do. And I understand that I couldn't, but I also regret it, because he just wanted her to hear from somebody who had the energy to say, it's time to say goodbye. And I always feel badly, you know. I live with that choice that happened in that moment, and I gave the power to her. She took it. She just couldn't do it. And I mean, and she's fine, and she's happily married to somebody else, and is now again entwined and doing great, you know. So who's to say? But that moment with him was such a precious moment, and he just wanted the truth there, you know, to be stated. And so I'm bringing this up, because I'm bringing these things up. I am of the nature to become sick. Our psyche, our survival little psyche, wants to be healthy and happy and fine and young forever. That's what we want to believe, and it's not true. And the Buddha is saying, let's be real. The Dharma is the truth, actually. It's how things really are. We are all going to be sick sometimes. It's the deal here. This is what happens. And nothing and no one can prevent this. And wanting to prevent it is futile. It's exhausting. It's in vain. And let's allow it and be with that and tolerate that truth, you know. We can then enjoy the wellness, because we know it's not a permanent thing. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's just what happens sometimes, and then sickness happens sometimes. If we can have that, it's a completely different attitude. And it makes our relationship to all of it much more appreciative. We take for granted that we're supposed to be well, and then we blame and sue people when it's not the case, and so on. And the same thing for, I'm going to go old. You know, I'm going to age. I'm going to lose. I've got hearing aids. I've got glasses. Haven't yet got a walking stick. It's coming. People get new hips. I mean, you know, that's not preaching to the choir here. A lot of us got gray hair, but it's like, can we be at ease with this? Is how it is, actually. Can we age with grace? Can we be with this? And the same thing with dying. Can we actually really embrace the fact of our lives? They are vulnerable. They are finite. We are sensitive. We are mortal. And be okay with it. And it's, you know, I think in the last about 150, 200 years, since the Western civilized world has discovered antibiotics and surgery and all the immune suppressants and all of the, you know, inoculations and everything, that we aren't living with it. So not long ago, when I go to England to walk in that land that I love, I always go to the churchyards and read the gravestones, just because, I don't know, I like being in those sacred places. How many deaths of people there, you know, the graves from all ages, and it's so rare here, relatively speaking. So we've become inured to the truth of it, that we're mortal. And it isn't tragic, it's the truth, it's how it is. And it could happen at any point, any age, any time, and we try so hard to stave it off and deny it. It's exhausting and it's in vain. I mean, not to say, I'm an embracer of life 100%, clearly. And can we also be an embracer of the fact that that's not to take for granted? And when we can let these truths in, that I will get old, I will get sick, I will be separated, I cannot always have. There isn't an always. I can accumulate the things that are precious and bond with the people who I love and care for, knowing that this isn't a permanent situation. This is never a permanent situation. Everything is fragile and subject to change. And if I can live knowing this, living from, not just in my head, but live this way, I'm not going to resent. I'm not going to complain and whine and be disappointed. I'm going to love and appreciate what's here now, and be able to release without struggle. To, you know, I know I'm older than lots of you here now, and so more of my peers and my age group are dying, but I'm always interested when people talk about somebody who's died or their relatives have died recently, and for a while it was our parents and now it's us. It's like, I always am curious, and somehow I managed to ask, and how did she die? Was she okay as she died? Could she die well was the question. My own mother could not die well. She was in complete denial that she was even old, let alone going to die. What do I want to go down and be with those old people for? She said, to the other end of the hospital. So, I'm going home tomorrow. And I'm like, no, you're not. You know, it was very, very hard for her. And she was aggressive about it. And I just was like, that's not the way to die, is grasp, clutching at the drain as she's going down. It's just desperate. It was awful to see. Awful. Can we actually be not so struggling? Can we have some surrender, some humility? We've become these gods, you know, like fixing everything, and look what we're doing, overrunning the planet because we think we're so in charge. It's not wholesome. So, yeah. And then the last of these five statements that the Buddha suggested, he said these are the five daily statements. Not statements so much as contemplations, really, like letting it in, is the one about karma, is the one that everything I am consciously everywhere, do words, deeds, thoughts, whatever it is, I'm contributing energetically, and I'm going to reap the rewards of that, whatever it is, and so a lot of other people. And so there's nothing and no one can prevent that. I cannot get away with anything. I'm going to feel the impact. If I'm mean, I'm going to be full with regret. If I'm generous and peaceful, I'm going to feel the effects. There's no avoiding it. You can't be some way and not get it. So we must believe that when we believe all of this, it's going to affect how we are, how we behave. You know, those who are, you know, close encounters, people who have close encounters, you know how every single one of them is just like, it just rearranged my value system, like completely. That's what the Buddha's saying. Let's rearrange your value system every day. Let's like put it in order here. What should be actually ahead of what? Oh, here's a thing. I don't have the equipment to do it, but you have to pretend. So here's the teacher. It's actually a story of a professor with some young adults or high school kids or something. So he has a jam jar. Okay, so here's my jam jar. He has his equipment here ready to do this, and he puts in the jar pebbles, and he fills it up with pebbles. It's full of pebbles. He doesn't say anything, and the students are watching him. And then he gets some gravel, like, you know, smaller bits of stone, and puts them in there, shakes around, puts more in, shakes around, puts more in, quite a few bits of gravel go in. Then he gets some sand, and he pours the sand in, shakes it around, more sand, more sand, more sand, lots of sand. Seems to be really full now, like it's got rocks and gravel and sand, and so then he gets a beer, and he then pours the beer in, and goes on. And then he says, this is how you should live your life. But what we tend to do is put all the beer in first, you know, then there's, put in a bit of sand, put in some gravel, no, and rocks, perched on top, one rock. The rocks are what's important in your life, your people, your well-being, your mental health, your emotional health. You know, then the gravel are the, you know, the other people, your responsibilities, your colleagues, your neighbors, you know, they're not quite so close, but the sand is, you know, whatever it is, the Green Party, whatever you want to call it. And then it was, so then it's full, but in the right order, then there's room for it all, right? And so then the student says, what's with the beer, you know? And he says, well, even when you've done it all well and all right, there's still some space to celebrate, you know? I mean, I know this is a meditation retreat about our values, but that's, let's keep remembering what is at the top. And when you sit quietly, even for a few hours, your values rearrange themselves. What comes up for you? You know, other struggles that need attending to, or the pains that have been neglected, or the things that you've not had space to think about because you're so busy with your shopping list or your hamster wheel or whatever it is, you know, your busyness. So we should all take time to be reflective and make these statements and have brushes with death and illness. And if they aren't close by, then I think there's nothing wrong with going and visiting the children in hospital who are really sick, or you know, being a hospice sitter sometimes. We're the best hospice sitters, we meditators. We can do it at night. We can sit quietly. We can be present. You know, we know how to pass the time quietly. You know, that's all that's required to be with somebody, especially a family who can't handle it like she couldn't handle it, that wife. You know, if I could just be there and be with it, whether you're saying anything or not, it's really how to live well, I think. So let's keep in whatever ways. Somebody asked me here if I would talk about death and dying, because it's very little talked about in our society and even in our meditations. And yet here's this primary teaching, you know, this is of my nature. Let me keep this fresh, not to be morbid, not to be grim or gloomy. It's just like, for me, people say, don't you want to go to the sun, you know, in the winter? Apart from me, I'm sort of boycotting extra travel because I'm trying to be, I'm becoming really quite green, I have to say. I'm feeling right about it. But I don't actually need or want to go to something else. I like the fact that it's cold and dark. And then when it's light and bright, it's even lighter and brighter. If you don't have a down, you don't have an up. It's all one thing. You know, you don't actually, I love the seasons, and I like hunkering in and feasting and lighting candles and visiting with the neighbors and my family, which you don't have time to when you're busy growing food out there, running around. So reflection, contemplation time keeps our values in order. And let's include that we're vulnerable. Why do we love flowers so much? Why are they one of the most precious things we can give? It's because they're so fragile. You know, if they're made of plastic, they just don't quite do it. You wouldn't give one, but you'd give a beautiful, fragile rose or something, because it's exquisite and it's vulnerable. Doesn't make it gloomy and depressing that it's going to be, you know, wilted tomorrow. It makes it all the more glorious, I think, speaking from a gardener's point of view. That's my contribution at potlucks, is the flowers. God, I can't cook, I'm English. I can grow flowers. So that's a good contemplation, I think. Thank you, the Buddha. Walt Whitman said, "Who need be afraid of the merge?" Talking about death. That's a good thing to look at, too, that we don't want to go there and think of it because it brings up our fear. Let's look at that. We're afraid of being annihilated. Maybe. I've got a couple of poems to read you. Rilke. He's called this poem The Swan. Some of you know poems well. "This clumsy living that moves, lumbering, as if in ropes, through what is not done, reminds us of the awkward way the swan walks. And to die, which is a letting go of the ground we stand on and cling to every day, is like the swan when he nervously lets himself down into the water, which receives him gaily, and which flows joyfully under him and after him, wave after wave, while the swan, unmoving and marvelously calm, is pleased to be carried each minute more fully grown, more like a king, composed further and further on." And I used to read one of these poems every retreat, and then I OD'd on it, so now I'm sneaking back. This is Mary Oliver. "When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me, snaps the purse shut. When death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what's it going to be like, this cottage of darkness? And therefore I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. And I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. So let's just keep this energy and do some contemplating. I'll say a few more guided words. We'll just keep on sitting like this for a few minutes. Let's not just let in these statements. Let's be friendly. Let's be receptive. Hold these truths in a friendly way. Let's accept them. Let them really in. Allow them to be here. Tenderly. Respectfully. I am of the nature to become ill from time to time. Nothing and no one can prevent this from happening. It's not a problem. Nothing's gone wrong. This is in my nature as a human. And also in my nature as a human being here, I will grow old. As I grow old, my faculties will fade, my strength will weaken, my muscles will become slacker, I'll become wrinkled and slow, maybe even forgetful. Nothing and no one can prevent this. This is the nature of being born into this realm, this human body. Can I not argue with this, resist, regret, but allow and be friendly with aging? I am of the nature to die, and nothing and no one can prevent this. Somehow, someday, some way. Can I let this into my heart, into my whole energy body? Can I receive this with care? kindness. Let it be true. Let me love and appreciate what I have and the time I do have, knowing it's not to be taken a moment for granted. And all the things and all the dear ones I hold so close and precious will all be separated sooner or later, somehow or other. Nothing and no one can prevent this. Can I not cling so tightly that I am pained by the separations? Can I enjoy what I enjoy? And let them be and let them come and go, as it's their nature. And the fruits of my actions, the implications, the results, the effects of all my conscious actions, thoughts, words, I will feel, I will receive and be affected by. Nothing and no one can protect me from this. May this guide me. May I remember this. Remember all these. Have them guide me as I make my choices. Walking through my life every day. Continue with this contemplation as long as you feel inclined, connected. And when it loses its interest for you, its aliveness for you, continue with this being present, aware of the state of your inner sense of yourself, your energy body, your physical, comfortable, relaxed body, breathing with those hands. You can always stand. We'll continue on for about another 15 minutes. You can always stand if you're feeling dull and sleepy. You can always open your eyes if you're feeling dull and sleepy. Know that it's common to feel dull and sleepy after lunch. I I don't mean to be suggesting it, mind you, or encouraging it. You also might, after considering these five statements, ask yourself or inquire, what are the most precious, what are the rocks that you want to put into your jam jar before you fill it up with too much sand and beer?